Hello， 大家好 ，Welcome to today's every moment. I'm Jason.
How to show love? It was mom who held the family together.
Day and night, listen to your favorite, just my every moment.
Knowledge and wisdom, Bertrand Russell. Most people would agree that.Although our age far surpasses all previous ages in knowledge, there has been no correlative increase in wisdom. But agreement ceases as soon as we attempt to define wisdom and consider means of promoting it. I want to ask first what wisdom is, and then what can be done to teach it. There are, I think,several factors that contribute to wisdom. Of these, I should put first a sense of proportion, the capacity to take account of all the important factors in a problem and to attach to its due weight. This has become more difficult than it used to be owing to the extent and complexity of the specialized knowledge required of various kinds of technicians. Suppose, for example,You are engaged in research in scientific medicine. The work is difficult and is likely to absorb the whole of your intellectual energy. You have not time to consider the effect which your discoveries or inventions may have outside the field of medicine. You succeed, let us say, as modern medicine has succeeded, in enormously lowering the infant death rate, not only in Europe and America,but also in Asia and Africa. This has the entirely unintended result of making the food supply inadequate and lowering the standard of life in the most populous parts of the world. To take an even more spectacular example, which is in everybody's mind at present time, you study the composition of the atom from a disinterested desire for knowledge, and incidentally,place in the hands of powerful lunatics the means of destroying the human race. In such ways, the pursuit of knowledge may become harmful unless it is combined with wisdom. And wisdom, in the sense of comprehensive vision, is not necessarily present in specialists in the pursuit of knowledge. Comprehensiveness alone, however, is not enough to constitute wisdom.There must be also a certain awareness of the ends of human life. This may be illustrated by the study of history. Many eminent historians have done more harm than good because they view facts through the distorting medium of their own passions. Hegel had a philosophy of history which did not suffer from any lack of comprehensiveness.Since it started from the earliest times and continued into an indefinite future. But the chief lesson of history, which he sought to inculcate, was that from the year 400 AD down to his time, Germany had been the most important nation and the standard bearer of progress in the world. Perhaps one could stretch the comprehensiveness that constitutes wisdomto include not only intellect, but also feeling. It is by no means uncommon to find men whose knowledge is wide, but whose feelings are narrow. Such men lack what I called wisdom. It's not only in public ways, but in private life equally, that wisdom is needed. It is needed in the choice of ends to be pursued,and in emancipation from personal prejudice. Even an end, which it would be noble to pursue, if it were attainable, may be pursued unwisely, if it is inherently impossible for achievement. Many men in past ages devoted their lives to a search for the philosopher's stone and the elixir of life. No doubt, if they could have found them,they would have conferred great benefits upon mankind, but as it was their lives were wasted. To to descend to less heroic matters. Consider the case of two men, Mr. A and Mr. B, who hate each other and, through mutual hatred, bring each other to destruction. Suppose you go to the Mr. A and say, "Why do you hate Mr. B?" He will no doubt give you an appalling list of Mr. B's vices, partly true, partly false. And now, suppose you go to Mr. B, he will give you an exactly similar list of Mr. A's vices, with an equal admixture of truth and falsehood. Suppose you now come back to Mr. A and you say, "You will be surprised to learn that Mr. B says the same things about you as you say about him." And you go to Mr. B and make a similar speech. The first effect, no doubt, will be to increase your mutual hatred, since each will be so horrified by the other's injustice. But perhaps, if you have sufficient patience and sufficient persuasiveness, you may succeed in convincing each that the other has only the normal share of human wickedness, and your enmity is harmful to both. If you can do this, you will have instilled some fragment of wisdom. I think the essence of wisdom is emancipation, as far as possible, from the tyranny of the here and now. We cannot help the egotism of our senses. Sight and sound and touch are bound up with our own bodies and cannot be impersonal. Our emotions start similar from ourselves. An infant feels hunger or discomfort and is unaffected except by his own physical condition. Gradually, with the years, his horizon widens, and in proportion as his thoughts and feelings become less personal and less concerned with his own physical states, he achieves growing wisdom. This is, of course, a matter of degree. No one can view the world with complete impartiality, and if anyone could, he would hardly be able to remain alive. But it is possible to make a continued approach towards impartiality. On the one hand, by knowing things somewhat remote in time or space, and on the other hand, by giving to such things their due weight in our feelings. It is this approach towards impartiality that constitutes growth in wisdom. And this is the passage today. See you next time.
Once I was 7 years old, my mama told me, "Go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely." Once I was 7 years old. It was a big, big world, but we thought we were bigger, pushing each other to the limits. We were learning quicker. By 11, smoking herb and drinking burning liquor. Never rich, so we were out to make that steady figure. Once I was 11 years old, my daddy told me, "Go get yourself a wife or you'll be lonely." Once I was 11 years old. So I started writing songs, I started writing stories. Something about that glory just always seemed to bore me, 'cause only those I really love will ever really know me. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told before the morning sun when life was lonely. Once I was 20 years old. Only see my goals, I don't believe in failure, 'cause I know the smallest voices, they can make it major. I got my boys with me, at least those in favor, and if we don't meet before I leave, I hope I'll see you later. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told, I was writing about everything I saw before me. Once I was 20 years old. songs have been sold. We've traveled around the world and we're still roaming. Soon we'll be 30 years old. I'm still learning about life. My woman brought children for me, so I can sing them all my songs and I can tell them stories. Most of my boys are with me, some are still out seeking glory, and some I had to leave behind. My brother, I'm still savvy. Soon I'll be 60 years old. My daddy got 61. Remember life, and then your life becomes a better one. I made a man so happy when I wrote a letter once. I hope my children come and visit once or twice a month. Soon I'll be 60 years old. Will I think the world is cold? Or will I have a lot of children who can bore me? Soon I'll be 60 years old. Soon I'll be 60 years old. Will I think the world is cold? Or will I have a lot of children who can bore me? Soon I'll be 60 years old. Once I was 7 years old, Mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old. Once I was 7 years old.